You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be running out the door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see? You start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Good evening, and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle and Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Nice rainy day. Do you have a fire going? I did. I got a nice fire going for my little doggy, so he would be warm while I was gone. So before I introduce our guests, I just have to tell you something. I finally went to the French Laundry. I've had Chef Thomas Keller's food before, but never actually at his Napa restaurant or his Yountville restaurant. There have been a few opportunities for me to go, and either the timing or the situation was never right. But my very first editor, John Harris, first editor and publisher, actually, of Harris Books, the man who put me in my very first book and also published my first couple of books, he asked me to go. I had done a project for him. He has the first book that he's done in a really long time has just come out, and I helped a lot on it. And he said, why don't I take you to the French Laundry? And I said, sure. I really couldn't think of anyone I would rather go with than John. We hadn't talked or caught up in a long time. So John is going to be my guest on Mouthful 2 weeks from tonight. We will be talking about his extremely amusing, wry, and also informative book of food doodles that documents the culinary history of Berkeley's gourmet ghetto and much of the rest of the food revolution that began in the late 70s. He's quite an artist and has this great sense of humor. He's been on Mouthful before, but it's been quite a while. And that was when he was making a film about a famous delicatessen in, I believe, Chicago. Anyway, John's going to be here December 19th, and we'll be talking about the book. But I think we'll probably also spend some time talking about our experience at the French Laundry. I will confess that I did not have real high expectations for a number of reasons, and that is, of course, contrary to all the press. I thought it was going to be more hushed. I thought it was going to be more precious and don't talk too much because, you know, you are in the temple of gastronomy and you don't want conversation to eclipse your enjoyment. But it was a lot more fun. You know, you could hear a good buzz in the rooms. Tables were talking to each other. I mean, people at one table were talking to other people. And there was a lot of effervescence. And so that part really, really pleased me. As far as all the food goes, you're going to have to wait until December 19th to hear those details. So if you're curious, don't forget to tune in then. And now to my guests. First, I want you to visualize the studio. I'm dressed in black velvet. Those of you who know me know that that's not particularly uncommon. I've had a velvet Jones since I was about 3 years old, I think, which makes me a real candidate for appreciating the sensuality of day-to-day life. But we have the author of the book, Authentic Sensual Living, Charlene Belluzzo, who's also the founder of Amorosa Bella, and she's going to be telling us all about that. So she's sitting here with her beautiful black hair in front of four bottles of wine. two beautiful black boxes with gold writing, one that I know is filled with chocolates, a bunch of wine glasses, and then just beyond her is my friend Sandra Van Voorhees, and she has this beautiful salad, a bottle of hibiscus vinegar, and I'm not sure what else. Sandra, of course, has Grapevine Trading Company, sells a lot of products under the California Harvest label, and has for a long time. On that long-winded note, welcome both of you to Mouthful.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Michelle.
It's great to see you. And you both have, when I walked in, you were already here, and you were talking about horses. So you're both involved with horses, is that right?
We both love horses. Very passionate about our horses.
And you can identify a horse gal in about 5 seconds. So, we'll try to stick on the subject of food this evening, but we may digress.
Well, we can do a couple minutes on horses. So you guys looked at each other and just knew, huh?
I can tell by her body type that she was definitely a rider.
And also she looked at my pants. If you look, I've got on riding breeches with leg patches and French riding boots. So, and since the audience can't see me, then I thought it was okay to wear what I had on earlier today.
It's just fine.
Yeah, I cleaned my boots before I came.
I know what it was that had me thinking about horses. It was that, I don't have the right terms. I did go to the horse races this year for the first time in a very long time, though. I went with Norman Greenbaum, who sponsors a race, and that was fun. Got to go into the winner's circle, and there really are such just breathtaking creatures. Mm-hmm. But I was reading about, Philly?
A young female.
Yeah, the one who won 19 races and almost won her 20th. Mm-hmm. I think Maureen Dowd wrote a column about her very recently. Anyway, I read a little bit, and her story, her name comes from an album by the Police from the early 70s. I'll think of it before the end of the show. Anyway, it was a lovely story about the horse. It really was. It was just great.
Last night, my daughter and I went to Cavalia, and that is one of the most amazing horse productions. It is really magical, the relationship that
they develop. It's a stage,
it's
a play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a play with live horses, right?
That's right. If you know Cirque Soleil, it's very much like that with horses, acrobats, and riding without rein, and the relationship they have with these horses, the horses perform because it's so pleasurable for them to do so. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great lesson in life, that we could learn a lot about that we get a lot more done and we have a lot more success in relationships when we make it pleasurable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. A friend of mine just went to see that as well, and she posted a link to it, and I just took a quick look. It looks magnificent. And that's in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, it is.
I think that's a real good lead-in to authentic sensual living. You do something so interesting. You've made, I don't want to say life, because you had a life before you did this, I'm sure, but you make a case for the sensuality of the moment and every day. Will you talk about how you've turned that into a business?
I will. You know, you said I had a life before. Well, I actually had my main career for more than 25 years in medicine, in clinical medicine and in research medicine.
Really?
And at the very last decade of my career, global health and economic development. And so Amarosa Bella is really my retirement project. I don't want to make you think that I'm that old. I won't give away my age, but I retired somewhat early and started a second career. And so it is underpinned with the science of the senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, taste. And so sensual living is actually the literal term of sensual, meaning of the senses. Mm-hmm. So living an authentic sensual life is living life through your senses. I've got a quote that I like to say that life, the quality of life is measured in moments of living, not years of life. Amarosa Bella means beautiful lover or beautiful sweetheart. By my name, you can tell our family has an Italian heritage. Mm-hmm. And Amarosa Bella, meaning beautiful lover, beautiful sweetheart, the love affair is with life, and you experience life through all of your senses. That's what creates a real rich experience, living life fully present in the moment through all of your senses.
I'm real curious, before we get into the details, and actually if you want to start opening a bottle of sparkling wine, don't let me stop you. But what I'm really curious about is in your first career, and your second career, did you find in that work, in medicine and research and that sort of thing, did you find that some of the senses took a back seat or got left on the side of the road to some of the others?
Well, what I think is really important to think about is when you're the most healthy and you have the greatest quality of life is when you're living through all of your senses and sometimes multiple senses at the same time. Mm-hmm. And if you'll think about this as if you were tasting a fine wine, is now a good time to talk about tasting wine while
sure.
I work on opening this?
You bet.
So all of the sommeliers that are listening tonight, I want you to hold your ears because what I'm going to say is against everything you've ever told us, but I am going to approach it from the position of a scientist and a doctor. And I want you to think in a scientific way, and the most primal sense we have is our sense of smell. Mm-hmm. And it's deep in the primal area of your brain, almost to your brainstem. And so when you are sampling a glass of wine, when you're pouring it, I guess I better say, since I have sparkling and still wine in front of me, just a little hint, when you're pouring a still wine, let the wine fall into the center of the bottom of the glass, into the bowl, and let it blossom up so that it can get a bit of air and the aroma can just swell up in the glass and you can smell it that way. Now, sparkling, like I'm opening at this moment, you'll want to tip your glass and let it run down the side of the glass so that the tiny bubbles at the bottom can effervesce and make their way all the way up from the bottom of the glass to the top so that they're very, very active by the time they get to the surface and when they're going to touch your lips. Now, when you hold your glass, this is where we're getting scientific. It's always important when you're experiencing through your senses to ground yourself. And the way that you ground yourself in your relationship with your wine is holding your wine glass. Feel the strength and the integrity of the glass and the smoothness of the glass.
And we should say that what you're doing is you're not holding the glass, you're holding the stem.
I'm holding the stem, but yeah. I'm using, like you hold uh-huh. a pencil, resting uh-huh. my small finger and the fourth finger mm-hmm. on the base to keep it steady, and my thumb and my forefinger, again like a pencil, more up under the bowl. And so when you've got a sturdy base, then put your nose to the rim, eyes wide open. Think about in nature, when you run across a deer on the trail, when you're riding your horse, mm-hmm. you never see the deer pop up its head and close its eyes as it's sniffing the air. That deer's eyes are wide open. So with eyes wide open, take in a breath out and in, and on the second breath in, inhale the fragrance or the perfume of the wine. Your sinuses are right in front and up in your forehead and very much in the frontal part of your face. They're not very big. And so as you breathe out, there is still an aroma that is on the scent, on the scent as it goes out mm-hmm. your nose. Recognize it going out as well. When you taste just a tiny, tiny bit of wine and hold it in your mouth for 10 to 15 seconds. And if it's a sparkling wine, this is really fun because you can put the wine just under your tongue and still breathe with your mouth open. And so when the air goes over, it will make the wine a little more rounder and fuller in your mouth. And when you take those few seconds to experience a small amount of wine, you'll notice that it actually changes in flavor during that time.
Really interesting. Well, we're going to take a real quick little musical break here and let you get the bottles open. We'll be right back with more sensual talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to central living, I think that Roxy Music and Brian Ferry definitely need to be a part of that. Music is always a really strong thing for me when it comes to just even daily life. And maybe we'll get to where that fits in with you. But first, you're going to show us another really beautiful sound. And Sandra Van Voorhis, who hasn't said much yet because we're talking about Amorosa Bella. But I want you to feel absolutely free to jump in with anything, because I know that you move in this realm as well. And now we can pour some. It sounds so good. Ah, yes. Champagne going into the glass. We love this. And you produce two kinds. You do a Brut, and then is it a Blanc de Noir that you're pouring now?
Yes, so Amorosa Bella only grows two varietals. It's Russian River Valley Chardonnay and Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. We combine both of the Pinot Noir and the Chardonnay in both the sparklings we do. Mm-hmm. In the Brut, 22% Pinot Noir, and in the Rosé, 56%.
Brut Rosé. And Brut. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I've had the Brut Rosé before, and it's really good.
Thank you.
It's really, really I would put it up with any of the others that I love.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. I was just returned, in fact, yesterday.
You can pour another glass and we can start sipping.
From a trip to Sweden and Denmark. And when I was in
Sweden,
thank
you, Michelle.
The distributor that distributes Amorosa Bella wine in that region represents mostly French vintners. And so it was myself and three gorgeous French vintners from Provence. How sorry you feel for me, right?
Yes, poor you.
yes, indeed. And one of them, Philippe Glemet, he from Provence, he critiqued our Amorosa Bella sparkling Brut, and I actually wrote down his quote because it was so great. He compared Amorosa Bella wine to the fine champagnes of France. He described our delicate bubbles and our refined drinkability, and concluded Amorosa Bella's superior quality and reasonable cost compared to the French champagnes in his experience deserves to be enjoyed as a daily pleasure.
And that, so, what does it sell for here?
So the Brut is $30 for mm-hmm. a 750 mm-hmm. ml bottle, and the Rosé, $32.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really reasonable.
Yeah, that is.
It's very distinctive, too. Delicious.
I can't wait to try it. I'm salivating.
I feel sorry for the listeners.
And I'm going to. Well, you know, Mouthful listeners might be drinking some at home right now.
What I really love about sparkling, and this is the motto of Amorosa Bella, is sparkling wine is low in calories and low in sugar and low in alcohol content.
Yes.
So it really is the ideal wine for everyday drinking.
It's so great to hear someone say that, especially someone who makes it say it. Champagne is not something that we have to reserve, and people reserve it for the holidays, for New Year's Eve. What's that other holiday in February? You know,
St.
Valentine's Day, and maybe a birthday. But for a long time, I not so much did the same. But I reserved it for when I had people over.
Yes.
I wouldn't open a bottle if it was just me. Now I will. And I have a very good cap. Mm-hmm. I'll have a glass of champagne with my dinner. And, you know, a bottle will last me 3 or 4 days mm-hmm. during the work week. And life is good.
And sometimes I think people, again, are afraid to pair it other than with a particular types of food. And if you think about it, the lightness and the crispness of this particular Brut would go really great with potato chips or salty nuts or a really spicy, like a Cajun type of, yeah, of spice. And so in that way that it can be versatile in what it can go with, there's a lot more flexibility than you might think.
One of my favorite things to do with a couple of my women friends, we go to Rendezvous Restaurant and Rendezvous Bistro in downtown Santa Rosa because they have that outside area where I can take my little dog Joey.
Yes.
We sit outside, we get two orders of champagne. I mean, two orders of French fries and a bottle of champagne.
Well, then it's not going to be long because Nino has asked us to have Amarosabella wine there.
Great.
In fact, he wants a winemaker's dinner
to introduce. Excellent.
And so hopefully soon you will be toasting Amarosabella while you're out with your little dog, Joey.
Now, time flies on Mouthful. You'll be amazed how quick this hour goes by. So one of the things I want to do is sort of the umbrella of what is Amarosabella. You make four wines.
Yes, our products are, the main business is a winery. And the wines are the cornerstone of what we do. But we do products around all of the senses. And the first book, Authentic Sensual Living, is really the introduction of living life through your senses and giving a lot of examples of how to go about doing that. The second book, which will be out after the first of the year, is actually a cookbook.
And yeah, you're working with Christopher Greenwald, right?
Yeah, Christopher Greenwald, the sensual chef. It's going to be called Four Seasons of Authentic Sensual Cooking. The book is divided into the four seasons. We do recipes for an individual eating alone, romantic or intimate dinners, family gatherings, large group gatherings, and different settings like a picnic. There's a very fun Valentine blindfold dinner. These recipes are paired with wines, but also have to do more with the seasons and living life day to day, fully present in whatever is going on in the season or in the weather or the activities that are enjoyed at that time.
You know, you could come, I think some people have come to, in a certain way, the same experiencing life in a similar way, but from this point of view of Zen.
Yes.
And the idea of mindfulness. What
That's
you were
exactly
just saying
right.
was reminding me of that. But with one thing that I never really hear people who are into Zen and Buddhism talking about is that sort of saturation of all the senses.
Yes.
So it's like you're approaching with a mindfulness that really resonates with that, but one that then just permeates in a very physical way into all your senses, and I love that.
So if you think about this, this came from my previous career when I was doing global health. I worked in Northeast Africa for many years, almost 10 years.
Really?
And so my daughter and I were in Africa 2 years ago, and we took a holiday to Uganda to a game reserve, and we watched a mother lioness with two cubs. And when you're saying all of the senses at working at the same time, if you could watch her in the wild, she was completely aware. Her ears were up. She was aware of everything that was in the field around her. She was, as she moved about, she could feel the wind. She could see everything around her, and she was very gentle to her cubs. So it is really a truly natural way to live. You asked me one question about some of the other products we do. When you're talking about the other senses, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, we do a product that I've got in my hand now that is a pure soy candle. And this pure soy candle is really massage oil. It's made of oil that has a very low melting point. And when you warm the soy, it's warm enough to use as body oil when it's barely warm. So at our events, we always demonstrate with hand massages that the flame is burning and you can put your finger right in the oil.
Oh, how interesting.
And you use a very, very tiny bit. An example would be getting up in the morning, light your candle by your bath or shower. By the time you're out, there's a light liquid on the top. Just use a very small amount and you can just rub it on your body. It goes a really long ways. We have five different fragrances, all natural essence. And so you could choose the fragrance that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a very little bit goes a long way, so they have a very long
life.
Burn incredibly clean. We also have a natural perfume that was formulated for us by the perfumier Mandy Aftel. She's considered number 7 in the world. And she said when she formulated Amarosabella fragrance that it's the most sensual perfume, natural perfume that she's ever formulated. We're very honored to have that fragrance.
Can you talk a bit about what's in it?
Yes.
Oh. Oh.
I'm opening a box of surprises, and I have a little sachet pillow with some of it on. It has a musk. It has a Moroccan rose. It has Oriental jasmine, and it has a bit of spice behind it. Uh-huh. The formulation that is interesting about natural fragrances is they never decay or they never go bad.
Dissipate, they never dissipate.
Yeah, and so there really are timeless fragrances, so you don't have to worry about keeping an Amarosa Bella perfume for a long time.
Oh, well, that's a great thing.
Yes, it's a very good thing.
It smells very spicy, I think.
It is. It is.
Yeah, it has the sweet, warm spices.
Yes, it's very warm. It isn't, even though it does have flower in it, it has an orange blossom and the rose and so forth. It is still very musky and very sensual. Mm-hmm. In fact, the fragrances, I would say, are more for evenings of seduction or for meditative thoughts. It isn't something like you would wear light and out shopping or to a light ladies' lunch. It has a much different feel. We also have a exclusive lingerie line that you can look at online at amarosabella.com.
I had read that you had a lingerie line, and I thought, okay, well, that's interesting.
We did the designs with the idea in mind that they are for almost every woman in almost any size. They are for a way that women can feel very beautiful about themselves and about their bodies, and that's not always what lingerie designers design for. They don't always design for the woman.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Okay, well, you know, we're going to come back to all of this. We're going to keep on sipping this absolutely lovely sparkling wine. But and we've still got chocolates to talk about and also more about the winery, and we're going to taste the Pinot Noir. But I want to bring Sandra in. I know, Sandra, one of the reasons I thought about having you right now is that you're having an annual event coming up next weekend.
Yes.
And it's a make-your-own gift basket.
Yes, this is something that started a few years back with friends coming over to the warehouse to kind of riffle through the pallets of our products. I have quite a few items. As you know, we were sort of one of the first companies to come up with a lot of products from France but made with California ingredients. And so I developed tapenades in the 90s and fruit vinegars and all-natural olives.
Lovely pomegranate vinegar.
Yes.
I think I wrote for your brochure once on that.
Yes, indeed. And so friends would come over, and we would start with Bloody Marys, and they would bring their own baskets, and then we would get out the heat guns and the shrink wrap, and it turned into quite a party, and word kind of spread on that. So last year, I believe, was the first year we opened it for one day to the public, and again, it was a frenzy of fun and excitement with people making their own gift baskets. So we'll be doing that this Saturday, and we've added a second day on Sunday. And we do have some vessels available, but if you want to bring your own basket and create your own custom gift collection, you can. And we're offering really great wholesale prices to the public for just those 2 days a year. So
mm-hmm. Now, I know that it was either last year or the year before, you also had someone else with you.
Yes. This year I don't, but just right up
okay,
the street, actually, there's a great artist collective on 10th and Wilson. I actually saw out in the hallways here, they're going to be doing about 6 different artist studio, open studio next weekend also. So I encourage you to come check out. The whole Railroad Square area is on fire these days. There's a lot of great events constantly mm-hmm. going on.
And as we always do, just before the end of the show, we'll be giving addresses and all the contact information. Mm-hmm. So when did you get started?
Well, I started actually in the food business in the mid-80s. So I'm, you know, I'm dating myself now by saying it's been like 25 years I've been in the food business.
Wear it as a badge of honor.
Exactly.
It's a great experience, and
yes.
Longevity are great things.
Yes.
If I could like affect any movement, it would be to remove the stigma of living a long time. Because,
yeah.
You know, the alternative is just not fun.
You got that. So, but yeah, it started actually in the mid-80s. I'm going down to Mexico and cash and carry wild mushrooms, morels, with a business partner from the mountains of Mexico. And one thing evolved into another, and I've really taken a lot of joy in doing a lot of the flavor profiles and the development of the products. And
mm-hmm. Well, I know you brought some things tonight, and I really want you. I love hibiscus.
And you know,
the flavor of hibiscus, and yes. It's jamaica in Spanish, right?
Yes. And it is the dried hibiscus flowers, mm-hmm. and you can make a tea out of it.
Tea, and it's super the best simple. Sun tea in the world. It is so refreshing mm-hmm. when it's hot. I don't sweeten it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tangy. It's got a lemony quality to it, but it's just, it's not quite as tart and puckery,
mm-hmm.
But it's so refreshing, and I love it hot in the winter.
Yes.
So you now have done a vinegar.
Well, yes, and actually, I would say at the Fancy Food Show, hibiscus was the, you know, big flavor this last year. But I
really?
Came up with this product, actually, 2002 was when I introduced this.
Oh,
and this was
where
actually,
have I been?
Yeah. It's not super widely distributed, to be honest. Like, I find that, you know, some of my products have been a little ahead of the curve, and
I understand that. Believe me,
for you know, the world to catch on. But you know, like Republic of Tea now is doing several different products with hibiscus, and it's become a very you know, popular flavor. And I love anything tart and tangy.
Tart and tangy,
so,
yeah.
I did bring a salad with some fresh seasonal fruit. Right now, we've got the Fuyu persimmons that
perfect.
Are in season, which are so luscious and. Fresh pomegranates and avocado and just some spring greens.
Well,
and I'm going to drizzle.
Have at it.
I'm going to drizzle some of the vinegar on it. I, you know, like a lot of people out there, don't like a lot of fat in my diet, and so I find that you can just use these fruit vinegars without any added oil.
No olive oil, huh?
So we'll give it a spin and see what you think.
And then this is under the label California Harvest, not Grapevine Trading Company. Is that right?
It's under the Grapevine Trading
Company
label, yes.
Okay.
This retails for about $14. Uh-huh. It's a big Italian 11-ounce bottle.
Now, explain the difference or explain the relationship between Grapevine Trading and California Harvest.
The corporation was named Grapevine Trading, you know, for being here in the wine country. And the California Harvest brand is to be made with products directly from California and grown in California.
Okay.
So I've tried to, you know, I stay true to that.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And whereas under the Grapevine Trading, I bring in Italian truffle oil.
Okay. So those are the things that are imported.
And things that are imported. So
okay.
We kind of keep the two brands separate.
Okay. Okay. That's
the
good.
The packaging,
yeah.
Though, the bottle is as beautiful as the wine bottles.
Yeah. It's really, it's a beautiful, beautiful
gorgeous,
bottle.
Gorgeous Thank packaging.
You. And that was done by a local designer in Creighton, Meredith Gross. If you're out there, Meredith. Thank you. You're a very talented lady.
Now, one thing I noticed on the website, it's grapevinetrading.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do a monthly dinner
no.
with women. You don't do that anymore?
No, you know what? I was promoting Dining for Women,
uh-huh.
which is a great nonprofit, and what they do
oh, okay.
is they get together.
So it was a link to
exactly.
that.
Oh,
okay.
Exactly.
I misunderstood.
I really support what they're doing. Instead of going out and spending your money at restaurants, the women get together and they host a meal, and whatever money would go, you know, to spending dining out, it goes to a organization around the globe to help other women. So it's kind of a neat thing, and you can start your own chapter and your uh-huh. own dinner circle. It's a giving circle.
Giving circle. That's
yeah.
a great thing, and
yeah.
you can find out about it if you just go to Grapevine Trading Company. There's a link, I think, on your homepage
yes.
that takes you right to
exactly.
it. Okay, we're about to.
Some
we're
walnuts
about to.
Here with. I just use some brown sugar, and then another one of my favorite little ingredients is you go to like Lola's or some of the great Mexican grocery stores,
oh,
and they
yes.
do a chili lime salt blend, and toss that in the oven for a few minutes, and you get some great glazed nuts on
oh,
top
great.
Of there. So.
What a great idea! Well, I'm going to let you mix that salad okay. while we take another quick musical break. Well, y'all are such good guests. We haven't had a feast like this on Mouthful in a while. Now, you will have brought some crab cakes with this little dipping sauce. Tell us about the dipping sauce.
Well, I'm a busy person, and so I, you know, that's one thing about my products is they give you the shortcut to gourmet without having to go to a whole lot of effort. So I really cheated today because I was out shopping with my daughter and didn't have time to go out to Bodega and buy my own crab and make my own crab cakes. So off to Trader Joe's for the little crab cakes, and then I made an aioli by just using regular mayonnaise, but I mixed it with our green olive tapenade, which goes great with any kind of a fish.
That's really, really good. I love green olive tapenade. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things.
So it's just a shortcut where you know, as we all have very busy lives, and you can do the other things that you like to do besides spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
Sure, and I think
delicious.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think one of the good things to know as a cook is what are the good shortcuts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the shortcuts that are not compromises?
Right.
Because not all shortcuts are compromises.
Right.
But this is wonderful, and the salad is just delightful. I love this hibiscus vinegar.
Uh-oh, it's all quiet in the studio now.
I know,
that's a good sign.
We're just all eating.
I love the sweetness of the fruit, and then the contrast with the nuts. That mm-hmm. is just a really, you know, you've got something crunchy and you've got something soft in your mouth at the same time.
Right. And again, no, there's no oil whatsoever. It's just simply the vinegar.
Now, you're carrying around a little, what is it, a travel spice kit?
This is another item that I came up with a few years back. And when I travel, which I love to do, and that was kind of the inspiration for me being in the food business, was spending time in Europe in my earlier years. But when I travel, I really like to rent a house or whatever accommodation I can find over mm-hmm. HomeAway or VRBO. And that means I have a kitchen so I can go and I can shop in the markets and I can bring the ingredients home. But going out and buying spices when you're on the road can be very expensive. And so I came up with this little travel spice kit where I have 15 of my favorite go-to spices. And you can take that in your luggage and you're good to go. So,
oh, that's fabulous.
I also have a funky little 1964 travel trailer, and it's got like a little propane tank and a couple of burners, and without taking up a whole lot of room, you've got your little travel spice kit.
I'm going to get you to pass that over
okay.
to me. I have to look. Because every time, I mean, I'm the same way you are. When I travel, I mean, I always go to farmers markets wherever I am. And it's so frustrating if I'm staying somewhere where I can't cook. Mm-hmm. So I go to Hawaii a lot these days, and I almost always stay in a place that has a kitchen. And I always end up going to the store and buying spices.
Right, right.
So this is just fabulous.
Yeah. And they're all dry spices, so you don't have to worry about putting them in the little Ziploc bag in your carry-on luggage.
Right.
They're totally
easy to pack. You could carry this on.
And very flat.
Yeah, so it's great if you've got an RV or a nice sailboat or a yacht. You know, you've got your spices. And if you don't like my choice, you can dump them out and fill them with your own.
Yeah, you've got kosher salt, Chinese five spice, Mexican spice blend, chili flakes, essential chili flakes, cracked black pepper. This is just a fabulous idea. And it is...
those actually are available at Cost Plus.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
That's great.
Yes. And actually, it's a special one that we did packed especially for them that has 20 different spices in it. And it's a great, great value. I think they're under $20 uh-huh. at Cost Plus.
That's a great gift.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody you know. I mean, I know so many people who travel. And part of what they do is they travel and they love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get places with kitchens.
And again, the packaging is so adorable. To get that as a gift, you'd think you'd have an extra special surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Reusable.
Okay, we're going to go back to Amorosa Bella now. And I should probably reintroduce both of you. It's Sandra Van Voorhees of Grapevine Trading Company and California Harvest, purveyor of specialty food since the 1980s. And... I should talk to you more often because I haven't been going to the fancy food show lately. So I need to get you to come back after you go to the fancy food show.
Maybe we should go together this year. I'm just going to walk the aisles myself. So.
Yeah, you're not going to be showing?
Yeah.
I just got so overwhelmed with it. Uh-huh. You know, people shoving samples in your face. But it's been a while now. Mm-hmm. I could probably go back.
Okay, we'll make a date for January.
Okay, there we go. And then we also have Charlene Belluzzo of Amorosa Bella. Is Amorosa Bella, the winery portion, is there a place where we can come and visit? Is there a tasting room?
Yes, there is a tasting room. Amorosa Bella, we produce all our grapes, we grow all our grapes with a partner that is off West Side Road just outside of Healdsburg. Hopkiln Winery is the winery that grows all of our grapes, and they are an incredibly good partner with Amorosa Bella, allowing us to create our blends from the entire vineyard, the blocks that we feel will create the characteristics that match our profile ideally. In that same way, Amorosa Bella partners with the Kenwood Inn and Spa, who has similar ownership as Hopkiln. And so Amorosa Bella products, my book is in all of the rooms. Our soy candles are throughout. Our wines are served in the wine bar and in the restaurant.
Now, they have a restaurant in addition to the inn. I think a lot of people don't know about this.
No, actually, the restaurant is for guests at the inn, but what people don't know is if you have a corporation or a company that you would like to have an event, they have an incredible event venues of several areas throughout the Kenwood Inn that are available for larger groups, for parties that can have guests stay over or not. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we had our first year anniversary party, November 19th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful, wild, and amazing year for us. And we celebrated it with food and wine and dancing and friends, new and old. And it was in 3 different areas of the Kenwood Inn, and a lot of the guests that were local had never been inside the property of Kenwood Inn, and it is the most amazing property. If you haven't seen it, you really have missed an experience of your senses. Yes, they have the most amazing spa. And so Amorosa Bella products are found there. We also have a tasting room. When you were talking about Railroad Square, yes, our tasting room is Cellars of Sonoma.
Oh, right on 4th Street.
Yeah, right on 4th Street, 133 4th. And we'd love to have you come there. I think that you heard Michelle mention about some chocolates that we have in front of you. These chocolates were exclusive for this holiday season, and where you can get these chocolates locally is at Cellars of Sonoma. The chocolates were specially blended just for us. They are a deep, rich, dark chocolate. I would call it a semi-dark chocolate. With a caramel center. The caramel center is made instead of water with our sparkling brut wine. They're infused with the wine when the caramel is being made. They're cut into the shape of a heart, dipped in the dark chocolate, and then lightly sprinkled with sea salt. So you have this amazing combination of something chewy, something tart with a little bit of that sparkling brut, the deep, dark, rich chocolate, and then a sprinkle of sea salt. And so I'd love you to give me your impression.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have discovered recently, and I'm somebody, I've always considered myself chocolate challenged. You know, I'm not someone who craves chocolate, but add a little bit of salt and the whole thing is utterly transformed.
Doesn't it change? It's that savory and sweet. Oh. And in this way, the crunchiness of the chocolate and then the creamy center of the caramel, it's just a surprising combination that really ignites your senses in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Well, friend gave me some salt brownies for my birthday this summer. And, you know, I accepted them politely. And, you know, I would never turn down a gift of any kind of food at all. I accepted them and thought I was going. In fact, I gave like a whole lot of them away. And I kept a few because it's like they were a gift. I have to taste one. I tasted one. It's like, oh, my God, can I go get them back? It was so good.
I put salt on everything.
Well, and some people say that they don't like salt. So to introduce it, I invite them just to brush a little of the salt off and take a bite before they make a judgment. And then they soon see that they do like it the way they are.
It's really good.
Isn't it amazing?
Really?
Unexpectedly.
I think it would be great with some more champagne.
May I pour you another glass?
That's a very good point. Absolutely. And then we have a I'm so curious about your Pinot Noir.
Thank you.
So the Pinot Noir is, again, Russian River Valley. Pinot Noir is something to me that, was a bit of a challenging varietal to get exactly right and to have the best shot on it. My husband calls it being on the right side of gravity. When I wanted to have a Pinot Noir, it had to come from Russian River Valley, because if you're going to have the best Pinot Noirs in this region,
you
of course
yes.
they have to come
Absolutely.
From Russian River. And so to get myself on the right side of gravity, that was the first step. And then the getting a vineyard where the grapes were well tended, and that we could have a real hands-on process of walking the rows when it gets close to harvest. Now, let me see, in harvest, the sparkling wine, being the same grapes as the still, we actually pick them 3 weeks to a month earlier, because you need to have that little less ripe, a little less sugar, a little less alcohol from the beginning. So we actually have to do this cycle twice through the same rows of vines to select the grapes, taste them, take them to the lab, determine, is this the right acidity? Is this the right Brix? Or is this the day to pick? And so we actually did that twice through this fall. And the 2008 that we're tasting today, we have had it evaluation by Off the Vine magazine. They gave us a 90 points rating, and I can't wait to get the impression of the ladies here in the room. So let me just pop the cork.
Only Pinot Noir makes it sound exactly like that.
Now, this Pinot Noir is actually quite large. It's very full, and so it's nice to get a little bit of air in it. It's young, being an 08, so when in our Club Amarosa Bella, in our wine club, we actually, with the Pinot Noir, have given wine club members the soiree bulb so that they can aerate as they pour. Because they are young wines, since we're a young winery, it's a good idea to get plenty of air in your glass.
And it's certainly got that lovely aroma that good Pinot has. And I have to say, back to the chocolate, it's one of the best chocolates I've ever had. That was truly extraordinary.
Thank you so much. You know, I think they're pretty special, but of course, I would think they were very special.
I would not call this Pinot big.
Give me your impressions.
Okay, first of all, it has, it's got that taffeta thing.
You know, so it's kind of silky. Is that kind of...
But for me, taffeta is silky plus crisp.
Ah, yes. It's got body.
But there's that crispness. It's slick. I always think of velvet as... You have velvet in one hand, you have taffeta in the other, and you rub the two against each other. And that's one of the things I want from Pinot. If I'm going to like a Pinot, it needs that. And then there's also something that I call the Pinot thing, or pinescence. That'll go on my headstone. She coined the term pinescence, the essence of Pinot, and it has that. This is very, very pretty. In another couple years, it's gonna open up a little more, but it's not over-extracted, which is the mistake so many people are making these days, either by growing Pinot in the wrong location, in a too warm a location, or by leaving it on the vine too long.
Yes.
This is really quite beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, it's got all that Pinot thing. It's a very sexy, very sensual
wine.
Tell
me about the finish for you. Does it leave any essence that remains?
I need to have a sip of water, because right now the finish is all chocolate.
That's interesting. While she's taking a sip of water, we have an incredible recipe in our monthly newsletter. Christopher Greenwall, our sensual chef, does a recipe. And in the December recipe book, he did a pork chop that has this Pinot Noir in the marinade, and it has a finish of chocolate that you actually melt some small pieces of dark chocolate, and that goes in the marinade. It's very good.
The finish brings up, to me, the earthy leather, leather, not tobacco, but a really cute guy with black hair and nice cheekbones smoking a cigarette.
Are you talking about my husband?
I've never seen him.
An Italian with the dark hair.
I haven't looked at your book, but I would say one of the most sensual aspects to me of eating is not using utensils. I love to eat with my fingers.
Me too.
I could be at the fanciest restaurant and I'll be picking up the lettuce.
I so wanted to eat with my fingers at the French Laundry.
Yeah. That, when I spoke about the blindfold dinner that's in the book, that's intended to eat with your fingers because we don't want you trying to use utensils when you're all blindfolded.
Right. Well, and then there was a whole restaurant craze for a while there where you ate in the dark. But I think that does diminish. I mean, like you say, it's food is visual.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
It's all parts of that.
Yeah.
You know, in relationship, too, when I was in Sweden, do you know when we do a cheers, they do a skål? Do you know the proper way to do a skål? So in our tradition, we would chime our glasses together and you'd hear this beautiful sound. And in Sweden and in Denmark, a skål does not actually clink the glasses. The glass doesn't connect. It's the human soul to another human soul. And so you hold your glass about at your second or third button, and at every person in the room, you raise your glass and your eyebrows and your eyes connect with their soul. And to the next person, and to the next person, and then you drink, and then you connect again, and you're fully present as we were talking, and the only thing that exists is your personal connection with that person and the taste of your wine.
That's so interesting. And it also, in a lighthearted way, it reminds me of the thing, you know, when you touch glasses in America, you know what? You know, if you don't make eye contact, you know the curse.
Yes, 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 indeed.
Yes, you need to look that up. I'm not going to say it on the air. And you know, I told you time was going to fly. We're out of time.
Oh my goodness, you're right. It did fly.
It did fly. And so, Sandra.
Yes.
Grapevine Trading Company, your sale is next weekend. And you could always send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net. Or you can look at Mouthful's Facebook page. Or you can pick up Mouthful the column in the Press Democrat on Friday, and all the information about the sale will be there.
Great. We're at 738 Wilson Street between 8th and 9th in Railroad Square. And like I say, feel free to bring your own vessel, or we will have some baskets and galvanized containers there, and you can fill them up with California Harvest products, and we'll shrink wrap them for you, and you're good to go for the holidays with local products. And, you know, I think we can all agree that going local is the way to shop this holiday.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
AmorosaBella.com.
Yes, and Sellers of Sonoma, 133 4th Street, Railroad Square, Santa Rosa, and also Traversos in their new location, just off Fountain Grove on Stagecoach.
Stagecoach.
Yes, and tell the Traverso guys hello for me if you go in.
Okay. And thank you both so much for this wonderful feast. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Ann and Jordan. Have a great week.
Yeah, we have to get out.
Uh-oh. Thank you.
Mouthful is hosted and produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast at krcb.org or from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he...